City of Urbana, presenting the local farmers market at the square every Saturday morning starting at 7 a.m. with homegrown produce, fresh flowers and plants, baked goods and food, and original works of art. Located in the southeast lot of Lincoln Square Mall, downtown Urbana. Information is available at 384-2444.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods, featuring foods from Russia, South America, Mexico, and Britain, and featuring food tastings every Saturday from 11 to 5. World Harvest Foods, at the intersection of 6th and University Avenue in Champaign, encourages you to join them in supporting public radio.
Good morning and welcome to Focus 580. It's our morning talk show. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're also pleased to welcome back to the program Dr. Robert Bochak. He is a pediatrician and he is on the program once a month on a Thursday in the 10 o'clock hour. We built it into the schedule so that you would have a regular chance to call in and ask questions about children's health. Whatever is on your mind, as long as it's the kind of thing that you could talk about with a pediatrician, you can call here. And I know that the doctor will do his best to help you out, give you some advice. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. Thank you very much for being here.
Well, good morning. It's good to be back.
It seems like we've plunged into summer and into some of the nastiest sort of cotton humid weather. I'm looking at the temperature. It's only 76, but it's the humidity is pretty high. Yeah. It feels like high summer to me. And it's almost too, I say, no, it's too soon for this.
It's kind of there, July out there.
Yes, yeah. It is kind of July out there. So I'm probably worth reminding folks that you just keep in mind that the heat can smack you down and watch out for your activity and make sure you drink plenty of water. And
when the kids come home from school today, perhaps it would be a good time to go to Pages for All Ages and get a book.
Ah, good thought.
You know, yeah, video games are okay, and TV, we've talked about that before. But, you know, yeah, there was just an article published in Pediatrics about how important it is for families to read together. And it seems to be, yeah, it's good for the parents, and it's certainly good for the children. We can't deny that, and yeah. We can't discuss that. So, yeah, maybe pick a cool activity today. This is probably not a good time to play outside. And yeah, like you said, when the weather stays hot, pick your times. 10 to 4 is sunburn time, is skin cancer time, so maybe that's a good time to be in. Don't forget sunscreens, SPF 30 or better. Don't forget water. The sports drinks, you know, I think we've been over that enough. Yeah. So there's probably nothing. If you own stock in them, then use sports drinks. Otherwise, plentiful amount of water is fine, and give your dog the same treatment.
Right. Just yesterday, I think there was an article in the paper about some concerns about a new, more virulent strain of West Nile that's out there. And at least they think, as far as the birds are concerned, it's a problem for them. And no one knows whether that's going to also be more serious if human beings should be infected. But the advice now, the last couple of years, I think, also has been if you're going to be doing activities outside, it's probably a good idea to think about having some insect repellent to minimize your chances of being bitten, because, you know, you don't want to get don't want to get West Nile.
You know, again, the West Nile virus is a bird disease. It kills a lot of birds. It occasionally gets a human being. But it's basically a bird disease, and humans sometimes get in the way. So, you don't want to be bitten by mosquitoes, because at the very least, the mosquito bite itches. Mm-hmm. And they will spread some diseases, and you don't want to be stung by bees and all that other stuff. So I think using a DEET, an insect repellent, is a good idea. But, again, I guess I don't give up your life to avoid West Nile virus.
As I think about the fatalities from West Nile, at least the ones that I remember hearing about, it seemed that mostly they were older people. Have there been children who have gotten it and died from West Nile?
I don't know. But, you know, again, who's going to get the diseases? The very old and the very young. The
people
physically,
who are least able to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those who haven't quite developed immunity yet, and those who are on the waning side of immunity.
Okay. We have a caller here. Maybe I should give the numbers. I don't think I did. Here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. That's the local number. Toll-free, 800-222-9455. If you would like to call in and talk with Dr. Robert Bocek, we have a couple of people here ready to go, starting with a caller in Aurora and on our toll-free line, line 4. Hello.
Yes, hi. Good morning, Dr. Bocek.
Good morning.
I have two tough questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. How do you handle Father's Day without a father in the family? Two absentee fathers who are alive.
Okay. Is the father still involved?
No.
Not at all.
Well,
sends birthday cards, sends birthday presents.
The one father, she called him up 2 weeks ago and said she needed a shirt. Would he send her money for a shirt? And he said, I will next week. And she never got it. And she said to her mother, why did my father lie to me?
Okay. You know, what I think I'd do is I probably, since there's no father around, is there a grandfather around?
No, I'm sorry to say, but there is an uncle, and I've been thinking of getting him involved.
Okay. Well, you know, I think probably what I'd do is skip Father's Day. Unless the kids want to get involved, and if they want to send their father a Father's Day card, that'd be fine. But other than that, I guess I'd probably just leave Father's Day off your particular calendar.
Oh, that, you know, and I never thought of that. I never thought of that.
Yeah, just there. It sounds like at this point in time, there's no reason for your family to celebrate Father's Day.
And isn't that sad? I'll tell you what I do do. I do send Father's Day cards to my son-in-laws and thank them for being the good fathers they are.
Well, that's great. Did these girls know Grandpa?
You know, they didn't, and I just think it's so sad that they don't.
Okay.
They came very late in life, the children.
Okay.
And I think that's such a loss, and I sometimes think I'm kind of overcompensating for that.
Then, yeah, I think in your household, I'd leave Father's Day off the calendar. Again, do the best you can to handle their questions about their dads. And why didn't Dad send the money for me to get a shirt?
The biggest thing to me was, why did my father lie to me?
Yeah, and again, you don't know. And I think, what's the lesson for this girl about why did my father lie? I don't know. Some people are that way. It hurt, didn't it? Don't lie.
Yeah. And
you know,
I think this child is at 12 learning more than maybe a 12-year-old should about her father.
Yeah. And, you know, we can blame fathers, but there's mothers. Yeah, some people shouldn't be parents. But unfortunately, they often don't find out they shouldn't be parents until after their parents.
Yes.
How did it come getting them to clean up your yard, to help clean up your yard?
No, they never did, and I asked them again, and they didn't.
Okay.
And my daughter got very annoyed about it. I didn't. I suppose that it was another thing that they had to learn, and I had to learn, and they had to learn. I think of these things mostly as learning situations for them and for myself.
But they're 12. I think they're more interested in something else other than helping.
Yes, that's my next question. Okay, that's my next question. Thanks for leading me into it. What do you say to these two grandchildren of mine that are 12, and they have a girlfriend that's 12, and she's allowed to have this boyfriend call her up every night, and they talk. And her mother is adamant about that isn't necessary. So what do you say to a 12-year-old that has a friend that has phone calls from a 12-year-old boy or however old he is, and they're not allowed? How do you answer that? I think it's a horrendous situation because our society is so lax.
Well, you know, is this the mother's problem? What's wrong with phone calls from 12-year-old boys?
Okay, then okay. See, I need some answers too.
Yeah.
I mean, I live so close.
Yeah, kids that age.
And my daughter sometimes needs somebody to talk to. I did tell her, when you go to your therapist, ask your therapist.
Yeah, what's wrong with these girls having phone calls from boys or girls? And I think the other thing that I noticed is, you know, some kids are dating, but a lot of kids just want friends of the group they hang around with is mixed sex, and there's, you know, it's mixed gender, but there's nothing sexual about their friendship. It's just, you know, I have some friends that are boys and I have some friends that are girls, and you know, nothing's happening and we're not thinking about doing anything. It's just, that's the way the friendships are. And I think, you know, I think that's one, personally, I think that's wonderful.
Okay. And I know that they need a male.
Yes.
They do. They need, and that's why I'm going to ask my son if he would take the girls out to eat once a month and just talk to them, male talk. Maybe his son will come with them too. I think they need to know about males. I think they have to talk, see what a male's interests are and what they aren't. I think they need that.
Yeah, but his role, again, is to not give them lessons on malehood. His role is to just be there and listen to them. Yeah, and listen to them and answer what questions they may have for him.
Could I read this quick poem, four lines?
Please.
A father needs the strength of a mountain, the majesty of a tree, the warmth of a summer sun, the calm of a quiet sea, and may he be granted all this in abundance.
That's wonderful.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Our guest this morning is Dr. Robert Bocek. He's a pediatrician, and he is on our program every month. It's always Thursday. We talk about children's health. We thought a long time ago that it would be good for us to have this regular opportunity for people to ask pediatrics kind of questions. And that's what you can do if you'd like to call in, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. And our next caller is in Urbana, and it's line one.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I just had a few concerns. When I first tuned in, I heard Dr. Bocek talking about the fact that it was going to be really hot today and perhaps reading would be a good activity. And in view of the whole issue with our inactivity and our really sedentary lifestyles, the message I heard was, when it's hot outside, don't go out and play. And I'm interested in hearing Dr. Bocek talk a little bit more about that, and I'm going to hang up and listen.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. When it's hot, you know, just like you don't leave your children in the car with the doors locked, you know, when it gets hot, and they perspire more, so they're going to lose more fluid that way. When it's beastly hot like that, that's probably when the rays of the direct sun are there, so we're getting the most exposure to sun and the most risk of skin cancer. I think what this whole thing is about is we got to balance our lives. Certainly there are good programs on TV, but I think TV needs to be supervised. Certainly there's good things on the internet, but there's other things on the internet too. Certainly we are in a country, I guess we're in a world from what I'm reading, that's getting more and more, having more and more problems with obesity. You know, we're seeing this fad diet, the low-carb diet, and that sort of thing. But I think the answer to this whole thing is, you know, we need to balance our lives. We need physical activity. Certainly, there's nothing wrong with reading. We need sports, but certainly there's nothing wrong. But I think sports are a privilege in school, too. And I think, yeah, the school performance, the grades need to be up there. I'm not sure there's anything about the South Florida diet or whatever it is, I think we're finding out more and more things about the low-carb diet, the Atkins diet. I think the solution to the whole thing is, yes, we need exercise, yes, we need to read, yes, we need to eat, but I think we need to balance our diet well. And, you know, we don't need a low-carb diet. We don't need a high-carb diet. We need a balanced diet with fats, proteins, and carbohydrates. And I think the only thing that I can say, that I can say positively about the low-carb diet is we sure don't need the sweets and cookies we don't need a diet that's absolutely free of them, but I think we need a diet that limits all these things. And I think basically we need a society where the parents are willing to parent and the parents are willing to be in control and give advice to kids. Now, that brings up other problems, like with the earlier caller. I think we as parents need to use good judgment. Why are we telling our kids no? Why can't they do certain things? Why can't this 12-year-old talk to a 12-year-old boy on the phone? Is that my personal bias as a parent? Or do I know this 12-year-old boy? Or have I overheard what they're talking about and I really don't like that? Well, then I think the problem is not to say, 12-year-old girl, you can't talk to this 12-year-old boy. I've overheard your conversation. Yeah, I'm sorry I eavesdropped, but these are the things that bother me. These are the things I'm working on, and these are the things I don't want you to adopt. And I think when we punish our kids, and again, I'm anti-spanking, but we have to set limits on it. Let's not call it punishing. Let's call it setting limits. But are these limits important, and who are they important to? Are they important for our children's life experience, or are they something that just kind of bugs us, that we just don't want them to do because it bugs us? And if it just bugs us, then, you know, well, then I think we need to think about what we're doing with our, yeah, why we're doing this. And I think, punishment needs to fit the crime. And I think limits need to be appropriate for the child and for the child's age.
Okay. Well, certainly, though, the bottom line as far as exercise is you believe in it, and we know that a lot of people, adults and children, don't get the physical exercise they should. It's just that at certain times it's maybe, you know, it's okay to do something else. People in agriculture know about this thing occasionally we hear about. It's called the Livestock Safety Index.
Yeah.
And it's a thing that that takes into account humidity and temperature. And it says when it gets to this point, your livestock is stressed. So you want to think about that. Well, you know, when it gets to that point, we would be that stressed too.
We're mammals too.
Exactly. Yeah. So maybe it's okay to just find something cooler to do if the heat index is 100 degrees outside, you could probably find something else to do.
Or take them to the YMCA where it's air conditioned exercise or Boys and Girls Club or something like that. Or mostly just, find quiet activities to do during the heat of the day and active activities to do first thing in the morning or later on in the evening.
Mm-hmm. Well, other questions are welcome. Our guest is pediatrician Dr. Robert Bocek. He is on this program once a month. It's always a Thursday. We do it in the 10 o'clock hour so that you will have this predictable chance to talk with a pediatrician. And if you have questions about anything we've talked about, things about sports issues or diet or vaccinations or childhood disease or any and all of that, it's certainly fine. 333-9455 and toll-free 800-222-9455.
If your child is going to camp or you know your child is entering kindergarten, fifth, or high school, please call your doctor's office and make those appointments now. Or sports later on in the fall and that sort of thing.
Yeah, okay.
But enjoy yourselves, enjoy your kids, have fun as a family, and do things together.
All right. You know, I'm always rummaging around for things to talk about, and I came across something the other day that I thought was kind of interesting, maybe at least worth mentioning, because we have talked in the past about the benefits of breastfeeding. And there's a good... You know, there's a good list of things of what's a good thing. Here, if you need one more, here it says, according to a study, and I guess we probably have study for just about everything, this was a study that was done in the UK where they found that breastfeeding will cut a person's lifetime risk of heart disease, being breastfed. Well, in fact, they say even just a month of breastfeeding actually does reduce your risk of heart disease. And it comes from data that was collected 13, 14 years ago on a study of premature babies. And originally, the idea was they were trying to learn the best way to feed preterm infants. And some of the kids were breastfed, and some of them were formula fed. Now those children are teenagers, and they did blood tests on them and showed that those who were breastfed have lower cholesterol than those who were fed to formula. Now, you know, who knows what other kinds of variables there are in here. But if you need one more reason why it's good to breastfeed, there's another
yeah.
one.
And I saw another article that said breastfeeding, and I can't remember how long you had to breastfeed for, reduced all deaths in the first 5 years of life. Huh. Deaths from anything, which led me to be a little, well, yeah. I'm not sure that... But breastfeeding is good.
But the idea is that one of the things that you get is it things that help give the baby immunity and disease resistance, and you know that's the idea for doing so. I guess that would make sense if you found a result like that.
I guess the only debate I might have about this is cholesterol apparently doesn't track. You know, there's the genetic people with high cholesterol, and that will probably track. But a child with an elevated cholesterol 1 year, if you do it a year later. It may be down to normal, and that's why several years ago it was the big deal. Let's screen every kid at a certain age for cholesterol, and now they quit doing that because it just doesn't, high cholesterol 1 year won't necessarily be high the next year, so I think we're still in a position where we really don't know what this means. Yeah, 50% of the people who die of heart disease have high cholesterols, but then there's the other 50% of the people with high cholesterols that live to a ripe old age, so I think we've got some pieces of the puzzle, but not all the pieces of the puzzle.
Is there a recommendation about people initially being screened at about, I don't know, 18 or something like that?
Yeah, not anymore. And, you know, again, it depends on family history. What genes did your child likely inherit from you? Mm-hmm. If a lot of people died at age, males died at less than 45 of heart disease or had heart attacks, and females... You females get an extra 10 years on us males, but ladies, you need to be careful because after 55, your risk of heart disease is just as high or higher than men are. So, same rules apply.
Yeah, all right. Here's a caller in Charleston to talk with on our line 4.
Hello?
Yes.
Good morning.
Hi. Well, I just wanted to say, go breastfeeding. We are still doing that in our house, and my daughter just turned a year old. My question is, however, my daughter, we introduced her to, big people foods at around 7.5 months, just started slow with some rice cereal and occasional Cheerio, and she had progressed from that to eating things like squash and bananas and sweet potatoes and just really loved everything to a screeching halt where she won't eat anything but things that are dry and crunchy, like crackers, and, of course, cookies, if she can get them, and Cheerios. And we're still nursing. But this has been going on, I guess, maybe about not quite a month now. So, and I was wondering if you had any insight into that.
You know, feed her what she'll eat.
Mm-hmm.
And next month, who knows what she's going to like. But, yeah, they will do that. They'll swing around and... You know, they'll eat something till you can't stand to feed it to them anymore.
Uh-huh.
And then they'll switch.
Okay.
And then there'll be a time where they don't eat anything, and you're please eat something.
Someone told me that their toddlers subsist on air.
Yeah.
they seem to not want to eat much.
Ours ate peanut butter and jelly. You know, and I guess the other thing, how much breast milk is this child still getting?
I would say right now she's probably getting 75 to 85% of her calories from me.
Yeah.
And the rest is, whereas before, you know, we'd been tapering off and she was choosing to nurse less during the day and would, eat more. But now it's, I feel bad giving her Ritz crackers all the time. They're not all that great for you.
Some peanut butter on them. I think, when she decides not to nurse anymore, perforce, she's going to have to eat other foods to get her calories in.
Okay.
So, all right, if you want her to eat more, stop nursing.
Well, I mean...
That's not a good answer either.
Yeah, it's just a developmental thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's getting a significant amount of calories from breast milk at this time.
Okay.
And again, the proof of the pudding is she healthy and is she growing?
She seems healthy. I mean, I guess it's just typical mom worry. She looks fine. She's got lots of energy. She's sleeping pretty well.
Okay.
Okay.
Chubby child. Not fat, but yeah.
Yeah, she's
looks
actually
good.
Slimmed down quite a bit because she's walking now.
Okay.
But yeah, she seems to be doing okay in every other area.
Yeah, all data shows that kids eat well, that they will balance their diet, they'll grow.
Okay. All right, well, at mealtimes now, I'm continuing to offer her other choices.
Sure.
And she mostly just squishes it around with her finger.
Yeah, just nothing turns her on right at the moment.
No, she wouldn't even eat her birthday cake.
Okay.
She wasn't too interested in it because it was wet.
Okay.
So, okay. Well, that's it, and I want to say I've been listening to your show since I was pregnant, but I actually haven't had any questions.
Well, great. Sounds like, number one, you've got a healthy child. Number two, you have a good pediatrician.
Yes, we do. Yes,
good.
We do. Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the call. So on that eating issue, for you, the bottom line, or at least the question you're always going to ask is, well, what is the health of the child? Is he or she at an appropriate size, weight for their age? Do they seem to be growing? And are they close to, you know, you've got charts that show where you're supposed to be. And are they close to being on track for their age?
Yeah. If all that's true, I'm a happy camper.
Okay.
And they aren't wasting calories. They don't have vomiting or diarrhea. Of course, if they had that, they wouldn't be growing well. And if they are growing well and staying healthy, then you say, well, I don't. Yeah, this child must be growing on air, but this child's having high caloric air with good balance of nutrients in it.
Okay, Champagne is our next caller, line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, I just wanted to ask the doctor an opinion about, I'm also breastfeeding, and my baby's 15 months old, and he has no interest whatsoever in taking milk from a cup. Except for maybe once a day. So I try, and I'm feeding him also. He eats everything, like lasagna, a little bit of lasagna, pizza. He likes all that kind of stuff, you know, what the big kids eat, chips, crackers, cereal, and juice. But juice is not good because it gives him too much diaper rash.
Okay.
Juice
is water with sugar in it.
Right.
Basically. Okay.
Yeah. So everybody's bugging me to stop breastfeeding, but it's not easier said than done. It is easier said than done.
You know, the other thing is, okay, stop breastfeeding. Will he drink milk out of a cup? I'll bet not.
Right.
Because my impression is babies say that milk belongs in a bottle or a breast.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be years ago it belonged in a bottle. Nobody breastfed. Now, thankfully, it's going to be much more popular and for good reason.
Right.
But most kids, when they wean from the bottle or the breast, just really don't. Some kids love milk and will drink milk, but most kids say, no, I'm going to eat food.
Yeah.
And I'll drink water, but I'd much rather have juice because obviously juice, tastes
it's
much
refreshing.
Better. Yeah, and it's sweet and that sort of stuff. But no, I think you're doing fine. And someday you will quit nursing.
Okay.
And you'll find out that he still eats, well, the way he eats. Some days real well and some days not so well.
Right.
And I'll bet you're going to find that he still doesn't like milk.
Yeah, okay.
That he's not a big milk drinker. And I think...
He looks fine. I mean, he's chubby
And healthy and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's frustrating for me because I don't mind breastfeeding, but everybody keeps saying, you know, it's time to stop. But it's easier. Some babies don't mind. Some babies, this one protects.
You know, and you are unusual that you're still breastfeeding because, you know, I think my experience was most babies are willing to wean from either the breast or the bottle by usually 9 months or thereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
And yours is a little bit unusual.
Right.
That way, but
too happy.
So,
I guess.
But so what? You know, it's still.
Right.
I mean,
it's like some don't walk until
18 months.
Yeah. But I don't think anything bad about that.
And I don't, you know, you have something in your family that for some reason he just breastfed longer and he will stop.
Right.
And probably like most, well, fortunately, and we had a couple of our last kids one day said, I'm not going to breastfeed anymore. Mm-hmm. And my wife said, hey, please, you know, will you help me out a little bit? And,
yeah.
You know, will you wean me, please? But
right.
She didn't.
Yeah, that could be part of it, too. I'm not so determined because I'm not having any more pain.
Yeah. But there will come a time when he's going to say no more.
Yeah. So I'll just be patient.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and don't worry about the milk intake.
And don't worry about what people say to me.
No.
My mother.
You know, I was just about to get to that. This is grandma talk. This sounds like grandma or that generation saying he's got to have milk.
Yeah.
Because that was when you saw all the ads on TV that said milk's the perfect food.
Yeah.
And have you had enough milk today and that sort of stuff. And milk is a good food, but, you know, it's...
Well, I think what I'll do is photocopy the two articles that you two just spoke about with regard to longevity and mortality and try to get copies from my mom and send them to her.
Okay. Sounds good.
Have a good day.
All right.
Thank you. You know, we've extolled the virtues of breastfeeding, and they deserve to be extolled. But some of these articles we've talked about, I'm not exactly sure. Well, for you women who haven't been successful at nursing or have chosen not to nurse, I'm not sure the data is clearly saying that your baby's at a disadvantage because you've chosen not to nurse or nursing hasn't worked. And I don't think you need to hire a wet nurse. I mean, what have the formula companies done? They've taken cow's milk. They've taken it apart. They've put it back together again. They've added some stuff that's in breast milk that's not in cow's milk. They've added some stuff that's in breast milk that we don't know why it's in breast milk yet, what its advantage is, but it's in breast milk, so it's got to be good. And probably that's right. But for those of you who've chosen not to breastfeed or have been unsuccessful breastfeeding, I think your kids are going to be okay. And I don't know what the statistics are now, but I think it's still the breastfeeding mother breastfeeds for about 3 months. And I think the women that have called in this morning that are still breastfeeding a year or 15 months, that's awfully unusual. Again, there's nothing wrong with it, but that's unusual.
Okay. Questions, again, are welcome, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. This is our monthly children's health program. Our guest is pediatrician Dr. Robert Bocek, and if you have questions, you can call us. The people that make baby food have thought up this system that they figure that that baby's going to start either with breast milk or with formula. And then at some point you're going to start, and you're going to, I guess you start with cereals, and you do it in a certain way. And if you give them one, and if it's okay, and if you give them another, and it's okay. And then they progress to other stuff that's different stuff that's like pureed. And then I guess you progress to stuff that's got bigger chunks in it. And, you know, and the idea is that somebody has laid out this Gerber, and I'm sure they're fine folks, has laid out this whole plan for you to follow. And then, of course, we know that a lot of people do. Once you get to the point where they seem to be interested in solid food, you can whatever you're having, you can give it to them, and as long as they can handle it, and that's fine. They like it, fine. They don't like it, fine.
That's right.
What is there any kind of rule about when you first give them a chance to have something that's more solid than milk, and then how it is you do that, as I guess you really don't have to, you know, you don't have to buy those little jars that are on the shelf in the...
Except they're awfully convenient. Yeah, my recommendation is it will vary somewhat from child to child when they want solid foods. Mm-hmm. And usually the kids will make it clear when that time is. And it's usually around 6 months of age, say, on average. Sometimes a little, 4 to 6 months of age usually. And usually what they'll say is, you know, I've had my nursing, and something's missing. And usually what mom or dad will do is they'll say, well, here, you must need some more milk, whether it's breast or formula. And the kid says, no, I need something else. And usually that's a good time to offer some, usually we started with rice cereal. Mm-hmm. And the deal behind that is rice was felt to be the least likely to cause allergies. And then every 3 or 4 days you worked through a new cereal. And then you went through fruits, and then you went through vegetables, and ultimately added meats because they're maybe the most likely to cause allergies. And you did it one at a time. So if they were allergic to something, you knew what it was. And you hadn't started six things at once and said, oh, my gosh, now I got to back up and do that again. Certainly when they're young, they still need a semi-liquid food. So you start with you puree it a little bit more, maybe add a little water to it. I've never seen a child eat the toddler food, the lumpy stuff.
Wow,
they usually say, you know what, I don't like these lumps. They're too big to swallow without chewing, but they're too little for me to manipulate around my mouth and get them between my teeth or gums to squish them. So I think I'll just go to, table food and graze a little bit on table food and see what I like, what suits my fancy as far as feel, and what suits my fancy as far as taste. But it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it's not so interesting with your first baby. It's much more interesting with your second baby when you know the routine.
You sort of feel like you know what
That's
you're doing.
Right.
Yeah, okay. We have a caller here in Terre Haute, line 4. Hello.
Hello. I don't exactly have questions. I had some comments on the two previous callers. And also on another benefit of breastfeeding that you haven't mentioned, and that's a relatively recent study that breastfeeding for 2 years or more combination within a woman's lifetime can reduce her risk of certain kinds of breast cancer. And my understanding of this study or studies was that it's 2 years, and it doesn't matter how you divide that up, 4 children, 6 months each, or 1 child for 2 years.
Yes.
So my daughter is 2 years old, and we're still nursing, and that's one of the reasons that we chose to nurse longer. So the previous caller can add that to her
list
of reasons for continuing to breastfeed a 15-month-old. But I had some suggestions also about a child who wasn't interested in drinking milk from a glass, and our daughter is like that also, but she likes soy milk from a glass just fine, and I theorize that it might be that soy milk, you can get enriched soy milk that's high in calcium and vitamin D also, and I think that it tastes sweeter than cow's milk, so a child might
Yes.
prefer it. The other thing that she likes is smoothies, which I make by mixing 1/3 juice, 1/3 soy milk or yogurt, and 1/3 water, so that it's kind of thin, but it's also got some calcium and some protein in it from either the soy milk or the yogurt. You can't do this with regular milk or it'll curdle, but yogurt or soy milk is fine. So that's an alternative beverage that is sweet, but also has some of the benefits of milk that someone might be seeking if they want their child to drink milk. And another comment about the caller whose child only wants crunchy things is that I know that you're feeding your child more than Ritz crackers, since that's the
Yeah.
thing that you mentioned, but Ritz crackers aren't particularly healthy, partly because of the high amount of sodium in them. And there are lots of – oh, that's my daughter who just potty trained.
Congratulations.
She just learned to use the potty and just learned to flush. There are alternatives like veggie booty, which you could find in the natural food sections of Kroger or some other stores. And it's very crunchy, but it doesn't have lots of salt in it. And some other, like cereals, in addition to Cheerios, there are cereals that have even lower sodium than Cheerios do that are also crunchy and might be better than crackers. So you can get veggie booty is flavored with spinach and kale and things like that. So you can work with the child's preference for something crunchy, but still also work to introduce other nutritional elements other than just crunchy
Yeah.
healthy things. So those are my comments on that there are other ways to explore working with your child, like not wanting milk in a glass or not wanting things unless they're crunchy. That doesn't limit you to just cow's milk or Ritz crackers
Yeah.
materials. There's a whole smorgasbord of nutritional availability.
Plus we've neglected how much calcium is in a hunk of meat or piece of cheese.
Yeah.
You know, there's other sources. Like you said, there's other sources for all these nutrients other than a glass of milk.
Well, I'm going to hang up and get back to my own daughter and listen.
Okay. Very good. Well, thanks for the call. We appreciate that. And again, other calls welcome. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455.
And sometimes they flush because they've gone potty, and sometimes they flush just because it's kind of cool to flush.
Yeah, well,
and
who doesn't like that? Okay, vitamins. We've talked about this before. We've talked about this before, and you're feeling that probably if you're offering a good balanced diet, that shouldn't really be necessary. But what if you're just not? What if you're just a little unsure? It's not gonna hurt him.
No.
But I think your feeling always was, well, you're kind of. They end up being flushed, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
You know, mostly they go through you and they go out.
There's certain vitamins, the non-water soluble vitamins, the lipid soluble vitamins A, E, and D that you can get into trouble with. Particularly, all of those you can get in trouble with. The rest of the vitamins you're not going to get in trouble with. So you can do it if you want. But again, vitamin supplementation is probably not necessary until you're pregnant or hit age 55. We trust kids again to eat enough different kinds of foods that they're going to get all the vitamins they need.
Okay. So you think it's not, you know, a Flintstones, it won't hurt, but you probably don't really need to do that.
You know, I think things have changed. We used to say that breast milk was deficient in three vitamins and fluoride. Well, I'm not sure we know. I'm not sure we know. And I think basically with diet, if you leave things alone and offer them a normal diet, they'll be okay. I can't believe that breast milk is deficient in much of anything. It's evolved with the human infant for millions of years now. Fluoride. Gee, now we're getting concerned about fluoride, that there's too much fluoride in the diet, and maybe babies need to be supplemented with fluoride on a much reduced dose, and maybe not at all, because too much fluoride, if you fall into a vat of fluoride, you're in trouble. That's toxic. Extra doses of fluoride, by and large, is cosmetic. It'll cause lines in the bones, horizontal lines in the bones on x-ray that probably are of no significance at all. It can cause fluorosis of the teeth or bright white spots on the teeth that are of cosmetic significance, basically. But too much fluoride can apparently cause, a little bit of fluoride is good for your tooth enamel. Too much fluoride can cause weakening of tooth enamel, and they'll be more subject to decay and dental problems. So we want to be careful.
Well, if you're on city water, there's fluoride in the water, and there's fluoride in the toothpaste.
Yeah.
Are there other big natural sources?
Processed foods.
Really?
What was that app? Okay, you pull your orange juice carton out of the refrigerator, and it probably says made from reconstituted frozen orange juice. So, what water source did they use to make that, to reconstitute the orange juice with? And so that's the big concern. There's so many water sources, or there's so many fluoride sources in our processed foods. The other thing is, okay, I'm on a well. Well, you know what? Your well water may have more fluoride in it, than recommended. So my feeling is, if you're on a well, fine. Have your water tested for fluoride, and then we can talk about supplementing if supplementation of your child is, or of your family is necessary for fluoride.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are there a lot of kids who are getting fluoride supplements in addition to whatever they're getting through their diet, what's in the water?
Yeah. I think there's much less. I mean, it was routine before. We're much more cautious about it. And I think the other evidence is maybe fluoride belongs in the dentist's hands. The topical fluoride treatments are the way to go, and not so much the nutritional, the fluoride intake, either fluoride supplementations or, again, be careful with, when should children brush their teeth? Probably when they're old enough to handle a toothbrush, but maybe use a fluoride-free toothpaste until they're old enough to expectorate to spit the
You don't want them to be eating it.
Yeah. I mean, toothpaste toothpaste companies have made toothpaste tasty, which is good because if it tastes terrible, we wouldn't brush our teeth. And we do need, you know, again, dental hygiene is important, but we need to be careful of fluoride.
We have about 10 minutes left, maybe a little bit less, in this part of Focus. It's our monthly show on children's health. Guest is Dr. Robert Bocek. He's a pediatrician. He's with us every month on a Thursday in the 10 o'clock hour. And if you have questions about your kids or the children in your life, you can call us here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line, and that's good anywhere that you can hear us, 800-222-9455. Since we're a little bit on the subject of teeth, what now is the recommendation for when a child should make the first visit to a dentist?
Oh, age three.
Three.
Yeah. Why is that? Because before that, they're going to bite the dentist's finger off. Yeah. You know, and I think, again, that's the pediatrician or the family doctor's responsibility to watch a child's teeth before that. And they can, you know, again, we don't want any teeth to be decayed. We don't want... The deciduous teeth, the baby teeth, will come out, but we want them to come out when it's their time to come out. We don't want them to be decayed because if they come out too early or they're decayed, it can affect the permanent teeth underneath. And so, yeah, the deciduous teeth help a child chew, and they also maintain dental space for the permanent teeth to come in. So we do want to take care of the and be aware of baby teeth. But age three... All children should go to the dentist. Prior to that, they should go to the dentist if the physician is concerned about something going wrong with the teeth. And what's the main thing about age three? They're old enough to cooperate with the dentist and have their teeth counted and be checked a little bit gently.
We now, I think, are seeing more. I'm not sure what percentage of dentists there are, but we actually now have seeing more and more a specialty of pediatric dentists, dentists who specialize in dealing with children. And I think that they are a special case because you probably have to work with them a little bit differently to secure their cooperation. Yeah. And I'm sure technically working in a smaller mouth has challenges that adults don't present. And I think maybe there are some dentists that for that reason or for whatever reason, they don't want to have children as patients. Do you think that there's any particular advantage in starting with someone who's a specialist and as a pediatric dentist?
If you
have that option?
I'm not sure. I don't, you know, and I think the training of the family dentist or the general dentist now is such that they work well with kids, too. They're trained to work with kids. And I think often what I say is call your family dentist. If he doesn't want to see your child till they're 4 or 5, probably your child doesn't belong in that dentist care. Should you drive 60 or 100 miles to see a pediatric dentist? Probably not. Mm-hmm. And I think pediatric dentists are psychologically in their office is designed to handle a child, but I think again your family dentist is probably going to do a good job for the average child. And I think the pediatric dentist, I think their special expertise is the child who really needs some dental care, who has more major problems, or the child with a handicapping condition like cerebral palsy and that, because they're a little bit more astute with childhood sedation, childhood anesthesia and that sort of thing. So I think if you have convenient access to a pediatric dentist, go. Or if your child has special problems, go. But other than that, I think for the average child, for most of the children, the family dentist is fine.
Yeah. For the child that is too small to do their own brushing, what do you do?
The recommendations now is when you bring a baby home, use a soft cloth, washcloth or something like that, just to massage, just to kind of rub their gums. Mm-hmm. I've never quite understood that. And probably when the first teeth erupt, you know, again, use the cloth to rub their gums and clean their teeth. And I, buy into that a little bit more and rubbing their gums prior to that. And I think usually around 18 months to 2 years, you can probably get out the toothbrush.
Okay.
And let the child brush first and then say, okay, since they aren't going to brush well, say, okay, now you've done it. Now let mommy or daddy kind of go over it and make sure you've done a good job.
All right. Let's see. We do have, well, if somebody wants to call real quick, I guess we can get a call. And we're pretty much done it. Any last thought that you'd like to leave with?
You know, we've got a war on terrorism going now that I think mostly we terrorize ourselves with. In a way, you know, we've gone to extremes on diet. We've gone to extremes on activity. I think it's the balance, folks. Playing outside is important. Reading a book is important. Candy's not terrible, but it's part of the total diet picture, and just moderate everything.
All right. Well, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Dr. Robert Bojack, he's a pediatrician. He's with us once a month, almost on Thursday, for these programs on children's health. The program is made possible in part by Strawberry Fields on West Springfield Avenue in downtown Urbana. Strawberry Fields provides a wide assortment of natural foods, vitamins, bulk herbs, fresh breads, and produce. The Strawberry Fields Cafe, looking out on Springfield Avenue, features expanded seating for the deli and the coffee bar. Coming up a little bit later today on the Afternoon Magazine, a regular feature of their program. It's a show that they do once a month, and they call Computers and You. And it always happens on the third Thursday of the month. The guest today will be Peter Kimball. He's the Education Program Coordinator and Lead Faculty Trainer for the FAST 3 Consortium, Center for Teaching Excellence at the U of I. So whatever questions you might have about computers, maybe you're thinking about buying one or upgrading and you're confused and have questions, or you're having some kind of problem today with your machine and you're not quite sure what to do with it, call in and talk with Peter Kimball, and I know he'll do his best to help you out. That's just part of the Afternoon Magazine. The show itself gets underway at noon with news and sports and weather and other things, and then the computer conversation happens in the 1 o'clock hour. The host for the program is Celeste Quinn. Coming up in the next hour of this show, we'll be talking with Tom Wicker. He's a former columnist for the New York Times, has been following American politics for a long time, has written some nonfiction books. He's written a couple of presidential biographies. He's also written some novels. And he is the author of a recently published book that is a brief biography of George Bush, that is the elder George Bush, the father of the current President George Bush. It's in a series that Penguin has done, a brief biography series, where I think the only rule is that the book can't be any longer than 100 pages. And we've talked between the Focus 580 and the Afternoon Magazine, we've talked with the authors of a number of these books, and this is the most recent to be published. So we'll be talking about the life of George Herbert Walker Bush in the second part of the show. First, though, as we usually do, we'll take a break for an update on the markets. Stay tuned.
Agricultural information is made possible in part by a grant from the Archer Daniels Midland Company. ADM, the nature of what's to come.
Thank you very much, Dave. Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey. Let's look at the current tick on the markets, where we see a lot of red on the screen. July wheat now sitting at 368 down 9. September 368.